By the end of the first 5 days, Esme felt settled in the academic routine. She was carrying about half again as many hours as her classmates, but the pace of instruction was much slower than it had been at the academy. Early morning PT woke her up for the day's classes, and she didn't have to stay up too late to get all the work completed. Already, some of the others had established a habit of going into Q-Town when classes let out, eating there instead of in the mess hall. She was almost glad that her extra classes made that impossible for her. She had never socialized off-ship with other officers and felt shy about it now. Many did not go into town every evening, and whenever she emerged from her room for a break, she would find someone ready to chat or play a quick game in one of the rec rooms. Administrative procedures was as dull as she'd feared, though she understood the importance of the course. She tackled it, as she had tackled technical data in scan or hall architecture, and found she could remember all the niggling little details even if she was bored by them. Professional ethics for military officers was another matter. She had started in eagerly, expecting, she wasn't quite sure what, but not what she got. 3 lectures on personal relationships left her feeling unsure and guilty about her friendship with Baron Serrano. Example after example where a senior officer's pursuit had damaged, if not ruined, a junior's career. Examples of apparently innocent liaisons which ended in grief for all concerned. She wondered if he was talking about one of her academy classmates, a stunning blonde from the Crescent Worlds. She hadn't seen Cassie since graduation, but she had heard that she had moved on from classmates to more senior officers. And yet, the instructor had insisted, Fleet had neither the desire nor the power to prohibit close friendships and even marriage between officers. The standards governing such relationships were, according to the instructor, perfectly clear and reasonable. Esme could recite them forwards and backwards without knowing for sure if she and Baron had done anything wrong or if going where they had talked about going was forbidden. She wished she had someone to ask about it. To her relief, her tactical analysis class did not consider either the action at Xavier or the Kosciusko defense. Along with her classmates, she plunged instead into a comparison of Familius and Benignity, small ship capabilities, and battle performance. Veracour was her assigned partner.
Lies. Damn lies and statistics. I hate statistical analyses of battles. It's more than just so many tons throw weight.
Esme extracted another set of figures from the archives.
Did you know that Benignity had better battle performance out of Pyrrho than we did after they captured her?
No, that's gotta be wrong. None of their tacticians use maneuver the way we do.
Yup. Renamed Volutis, confirmed from salvage. Their commander got 5 hits on Tarngeld at extreme range.
Says who?
Veracour leaned over to look.
You trust that scan data from Tarngeld?
Well, it's embarrassing to have to admit you were clobbered by a ship a third your mass, which used to be on your side. So I bet on its being accurate. Besides, according to the post-battle plot, nothing else was in that direction. My question is, what did they do to Pyrrho Volutis to make her that effective? And are they doing that to their other ships?
Wouldn't think so. They didn't at Xavier, did they?
Not that I know of, but they had Pyrrho for 3 years before she showed up in their lines.
Well, someone must have noticed that.
Yes, but did they apply it? If the Benignity does whatever it did to that ship to others of the same size, we've got a whole new element to worry about.
Maybe, but if they could, they'd have used it at Xavier, wouldn't they?
Oh, I wish I knew what it was. It matters if it was some one-time thing that depended on some of our architecture.
One really good scan tech? Weapons tech?
Maybe, but if they've got one that good, they might have more. I think we ought to make this one of the main points of our presentation.
I'm not going to argue with the hero of Xavier and the Koss. It's not something I would have thought of. Maybe you are that smart.
I do my best.
He wasn't Baron, but he was comfortable. Esme was still thinking that when Veracour reached out and touched her hair. Esme managed not to flinch, but she moved smoothly away.
Sorry, I just thought you might like it.
So Baron wasn't the only man who could find her attractive. She didn't know whether she found that reassuring or just bothersome. At least she knew for sure that another lieutenant was within the limits allowed by regulations and the ethics class.
I'm not in the mood.
She couldn't explain about Baron, or claim a pre-existing relationship. Not yet.
If you ever are in the mood, just let me know. I'll even swear on whatever you like that it's not just hero worship.
I didn't think it was.
Varricor grinned back, but made no more advances. That's what the manuals all said was supposed to happen, but she'd never had to deal with it before. She felt a small burst of surprise that the manuals were right. A few days later, their presentation gained the highest rating in the class. Afterwards, Varricor suggested a celebratory drink in Q-Town, the little cluster of commercial establishments just outside the gates.
You're certainly good luck. I hope we're on the same team for E&E. They say no one ever makes it all the way through field exercise without getting captured. But you might be able to pull it off.
I doubt it. The instructors know the terrain backwards and forwards, just like natives.
Well, it would be more fun with you anyway. So, will you come?
No. Remember, I'm taking extra classes, and I have a final in admin procedures tomorrow.
Varricor bowed elaborately.
My sympathies.
So he was no Baron. He was still fun to be around. She went back to her quarters and tore into the admin procedures material until long past her usual bedtime. The next morning, Esme was surprised to see Brunn Meager lining up for PT with the others. During the run, she moved up beside Esme.
Hi. Oh, I hardly ever see you.
I've got a heavy schedule.
Unlike many, Esme actually enjoyed the run. But one of the things she enjoyed about it was sinking into a meditative state.
So I noticed. This was the only thing I could take right now where we overlap. But I'm going to be in your escape and evasion course.
You?
Esme glanced at her. Brunn loped along as if she could run forever.
Mm-hmm. Well, if people are out to get me, I need to learn how to get away.
I suppose.
And I wanted to ask you, if we get a choice, I'd like to be on your team.
Great. Just what I need, a spoiled rich girl on my team.
Esme glanced at Brunn again. Brunn might be spoiled, but she was willing to work and learn. Not every rich girl would pile out of bed at that hour to do PT with a lot of grumpy soldiers. Admiral Serrano had sponsored her. That had to be worth something. Rumor had it, she didn't ask any favors in her classes either.
I don't know if we get a choice, but if it's possible, it's all right with me.
And if you ever wanted, we could go into Q-Town together.
No time.
You don't ever go?
No. They have good steaks in the mess.
And good steaks constitute your definition of entertainment.
No, but I wouldn't expect you to find much entertainment there either.
Well, I like a drink with friends now and then. Or a meal outside, just because it is outside. That red-headed Lieutenant Varricor? Is he a friend of yours?
We were classmates. And we've been assigned some problems together.
But you like him?
He's nice. He goes to Q-Town fairly often.
I know. I've seen him there with friends. I wondered why you didn't go.
Schedule. I've got a final this morning.
What in?
Administrative procedures.
Oh, sounds dull. I guess I should let you review it in your head.
That would have been nice, but they were almost back to the starting point. Esme was glad she'd spent the extra hours the night before. Varricor came up alongside Esme as they headed toward the first of the escape and evasion classes.
There's going to be an ensign in our class.
Esme hoped her face didn't reveal anything. Baron had left a message saying he was down, but she hadn't seen him yet. She had back-to-back classes.
An ensign? So?
Well, this is a bit upper level for an ensign, don't you think? But I hear he's a Serrano. That probably explains it. Says he was on Kosciuszko.
Esme finally realized Varricor was fishing, and what he was fishing for. She wanted to strangle him. She stopped at the next data port to suck the class list.
Let me see. Oh, yes. Baron Serrano. I know him.
She hoped that was sufficiently casual. Her eye ran on down the list and got snagged on Brunhilde Meager, She had hoped someone would talk the girl out of this. The class was known to be dangerous, but there she was.
And?
Esme gave Veracore a glance that moved him back a half step. Good.
He's a fine junior officer. What more do you want?
Was he on your crew on the Bloodhorde ship?
No.
And she was not going to tell Baron's secrets either. Veracore could find out for himself. In the classroom, she saw Brun first. The tall blonde was leaning on a desk, surrounded by male officers, while her bodyguard stood by the wall, looking as blank as robots. She had, Esme had to admit, an infectious laugh and a smile that lit up the room. Esme moved to a seat midway up on the left side and then spotted Baron, front row right, already seated and looking compact and composed.
Can I go up there?
But Esme was already in her seat, and Veracore was in the next. It would be obvious if she moved. Baron turned, as if her glance were a warm hand on his neck, and spotted her. He smiled, nodded. She nodded in return. Enough for now. They could talk later. Although, certain paragraphs in the professional ethics lectures came back to her. They would have to be careful. They were not presently in the same chain of command, but she was senior enough that the relationship would be called not recommended.